and welcome to the Foot Health Show here on UK Health Radio, your global, real, feel-good radio station. My name is Peter Alton of Circle Podiatry, and it's my aim to raise your awareness of just how important your feet are, to give you the solutions to your foot and leg problems, and to teach you how to prevent future problems. So grab a cuppa, relax, sit back and put your feet up, and enjoy learning about the one part of your body that often gets forgotten. That's right, it's your feet. Hello and welcome back to the Foot Health Show. I hope you've had a fantastic week just gone. And one of the highlights definitely this week was having my family around for a meal. We had four generations in one place, from my parents, of course, who are the great grandparents. We had myself and my wife, who are the grandparents. And then we had my kids and also my two grandchildren as well. And something that struck me actually there as I sort of watched them pitter-pattering around the floor. I'm talking about the little ones there, not the great-grandparents or me, but the little ones pitter-pattering around with their little feet, which is how things change over time with our feet, how they alter from when we are little kids, when we're little babies, little youngsters, toddlers running around, through to adolescent, into your 20s, 30s. Some of those feet will get bashed about a bit, you know, playing football, ballet, whatever it might be. Some of those feet will get maybe injured by something, you know, you drop something on it. Maybe you're at work and you have an injury to it. You're not wearing your steel toe caps when you should be, or maybe you are wearing your steel toe caps and they aren't the right size for your feet. A whole host of things can go on during your lifetime with your feet. And chances are, if you are a little bit older, then there's likely to be some deformities that will have occurred. There's likely to be some changes in shape. There are likely to be some issues. And when you look at the spectrum of the different ages that we had in that room, there's a lot of big differences between the actual structure of the foot even. So when you're a little baby, a little toddler, you've got more pieces of bone in your feet. I think we touched on this the other week when we talked about bones. But a few, you've got areas of a bone which are ossified, they've become bone, and then within that bone, which will eventually become totally ossified, there are areas which are softer and not quite, they won't show up on x-ray at that age. So when you x-ray a little kid's foot, little baby's foot, little toddler's foot, you'll see that there's actually more bones than what we talked about the other week. And then as you become older into a teenager's, then eventually you'll get to the age of 18 when you have got the full number of bones fully ossified, ready to hopefully allow you to do the things you want to do throughout the whole of your life. Now, I'm not meant to be talking to you about bones really today. In a show a couple of weeks ago where we went through every single bone in the foot and got you to feel around your foot to locate where they were, to really just try and give you an idea of just how complex the feet are. We're going to continue that theme today. You've got my voice pretty much throughout, a little bit of singing in between, which won't be my voice, I promise. And we're going to look at just how complex things are regarding muscles in the feet. Because you don't really think about the muscles in your feet. You might think about your biceps or your quads or your calves. You might think about that because you get some injuries there maybe, or because you want to build them up and look stronger. But you don't necessarily think about bones in the feet, at least not to the same extent. And you certainly don't give them a workout, or not an intentional workout where you are being intentional about which muscle you are working on. Sometimes it is necessary to do that. Sometimes you need to strengthen things, particularly after there's been an injury. If you've had a time of inactivity, maybe been in a cast because you've had an injury, then it certainly can take some time to strengthen some of those muscles, and also sometimes they need stretching too. So it is useful to know, and just on a very, very low level, it's useful for you to know from the point of view of how complex your feet are. Don't take them for granted. Don't think that you can manage them yourself. There are things which from time to time you need to get checked out by your podiatrist. So go and get checked out. If you haven't had that foot health check recently, go and get checked out. If you had one years ago,
Don't rest on your laurels that everything's okay, because things can change. We regularly pick up things in our practice where we've seen somebody a year, 2 years before, they come in again after that sort of length of time, and we do our tests, and sure enough, there are some changes, maybe to their circulation. That's the most common one. Also, sometimes to their nerve supply. So, you know, sometimes we're picking up on things and having to refer people to vascular surgeons or to further vascular assessment, at least. Sometimes there's loss of sensation, and we have to start thinking about maybe vitamin B12 deficiency, or more commonly, maybe diabetes, and refer people on.
But before we look into those muscles, I just want to stop and take a pause because there's something came up in the news this week which struck me, and I just want to pay tribute to this guy who we heard this week has developed a pretty nasty form of dementia. And that's temporal lobe dementia, which is pretty horrid in the way it affects a person. And that person, of course, that has been announced about is Bruce Willis, the actor. He is actually one of my favourite actors. Some of my favourite films, should I say, have been his films. And I refer particularly to the Die Hard films, particularly Die Hard 2, I think, was the one that really, for many years, was my favourite film. And I've enjoyed a lot of the action movies that Bruce has made. Bruce, we really feel for you and your family at this time, and we wish you and pray for you and your family to have peace, and to be able to find a way to live with this and get over the impact of it in your lives, and that you can enjoy the rest of your life and not be badly affected by this. While I was thinking about this, when this came up, and my mind went to some of the films that Bruce has done, Die Hard 2, as I mentioned, was one of the classics, and there was a part in that which, I mean, most people remember it because of the him rolling through balls of fire, particularly I don't think I'm doing a spoiler here because this film's been out for so many years, but yeah, where at the very end he lights the trail of fuel and the plane goes up, you know, those classic massive action-packed bits that you remember. But there's one bit I remember which isn't actually action-packed, and it's where he manages to get to the body of a terrorist that's been all bagged up in a body bag, and it's about to be taken away to the to the morgue, I guess. Bruce realizes that the guy in there, being a terrorist, will have fingerprints, so he manages to get an ink pad, I think it is, and paper from the reception desk, and is able to get fingerprints from this body before they take him off. And then, of course, he can fax that over, and I think it was a fax in those days, can fax it over and gets an identity on the person, so they are able to know a bit more about what's going on. So where's he going with this in a foot health show, you're saying? Well,
you know, we all think about the fingerprints that we have on our hands, and, you know, we've been identified by that. If we're traveling maybe to the States or to some other places, you've got your fingerprint record. If you've been in dodgy circumstances, maybe you've had your fingerprints taken. But people don't think necessarily about being caught for a crime by other things. So you might expect to be caught if you've left fingerprints everywhere, but you might not expect to be caught just by leaving your footprints around. Well, this time in the news just recently, there's been this issue of this whole gang of, I think they were Romanian actually, people who had, men and a lady, who had been targeting numerous houses, burglaring them. And I think, in fact, they burgled 76 homes and amassed a cash and jewellery haul worth £850,000. And the reason they were caught, it wasn't because they left fingerprints all over the place. It wasn't because they left other forms of DNA around the place. It wasn't even, you know, video footage of the way the person walks. That's happened before. And we do have actually podiatrists who have done some training in forensics so that they can actually identify from a video the type of walk of a person and give an indication as to whether or not that is likely to be the culprit. There's other things you can look at, the pattern on the shoes when you leave a footprint in the mud, whether that's got the typical wear marks associated with the type of gait that a particular person might have. But no, this guy was actually the ringleader actually of this group, was actually caught because of the size of his feet. I don't know how big he was as a person, but he only had size 5 feet, which of course is very unusual for a full grown man. Size 5 is very small. And I think it was footprints that he'd left at one of the scenes. That was what helped them to identify that it was this particular band of thugs who have now been locked away. You're listening to the Foot Health Show here on UK Health Radio, and we're about to get into the nitty-gritty of things that you can learn about your feet. And that's what this show is about. It's about giving you advice, giving you tips on how to look after your feet, but it goes a bit deeper than that at times and just tries to give you a real sense of how complex your feet are, that they aren't just, as the Cockney slang says, plates of meat on the end of your legs. They are very, very intricate and very, very complex. As Leonardo da Vinci once said, they are masterpieces of engineering and works of art at the same time.
The station that makes you feel good.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There was probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So we're going to talk today about, first of all, some of the muscles that are in the foot. And then we're going to talk a little bit later about some toe deformities that can occur within the feet, because we are, remember, in October. And that is the month that we are going to spend each week looking at some different toe problems. But first of all, let's talk muscles. So, yeah, most of us probably have looked at our bodies and thought, I wish I could be a bit more muscular. I know for me personally, there's not a lot of muscle that's visible around my tummy area. But the place that I'm most conscious about is actually my arms. And for a long time, I was not really able to do much in the way of press-ups. I'm a little bit better now, although not quite as in shape as I was a year ago. But pretty much every one of us, I reckon, has probably looked in a mirror at some point and wished that we were a little bit more developed in the muscular areas of maybe our arms or maybe a six pack or maybe the legs, whatever it is. But I bet there's not many of us have actually looked at our feet and thought, I wish they were a bit more muscular. Maybe some of you, maybe I do get some people in sometimes who've got very skinny, bony feet. And probably they may have thought, you know, I wish I had a bit more flesh on them. But generally speaking, we don't work our feet out. We don't think, let me improve the muscle strength within the feet. And sometimes actually we do prescribe strengthening exercises to try and help you to strengthen the muscles within the feet. And of course, the muscles within the leg that work in the feet. And that brings me to just the first sort of description, if you like, of the muscles that act upon the feet, because we break them down into two different groups, if you like. We have one group which are called the extrinsic muscles, and then we have the other group called intrinsic muscles. Now, extrinsic are not the ones we're going to necessarily look at today. They arise from the front, the back, and the outside compartments of the leg. And they're mainly responsible for some of the big movements within the feet. So rolling the foot onto the outside edge or rolling it onto the inside edge. Those two movements are called eversion and inversion. And then pulling the foot upwards and pushing it downwards. And those two are called plantar flexion and dorsiflexion. And those are very, very important movements that take place every step you take, or at least they should take place every step you take. They allow the foot to roll. They allow you to propel forwards. They allow the foot to slow down as you actually hit the ground. All of these movements are really, really important. That's the extrinsic muscles. And then we have the intrinsic muscles, which are located within the foot. And they are responsible for the fine motor actions of the foot. So moving individual digits. And some people are amazing at this. I mean, you've probably seen things on artists who have drawn paintings with their feet. Amazing. Some of them can be really intricate. There's a whole crowd of people that get together each year for Rubik's Cube challenges, and the challenge of doing Rubik's Cube with your feet. Now, I couldn't imagine just even holding the cube, let alone moving it. I can't even do it with my hands, for that matter. But moving it with your feet, and in the time that they do it in seconds, it's mind-blowing. And I'm sure that doing those movements, they have developed a lot of those intrinsic muscles very, very much. And that may be something you want to do. Maybe you want to take up doing Rubik's Cube with your feet just to improve your muscle function. One of the things we get people to do, in fact, it used to be more in nursing homes we would do this, in residential homes, get the people there, the residents there, who generally speaking are elderly and not as mobile, get them to write the alphabet with their feet. And for quite a long time, I used to sort of poo-poo it, really, and laugh at it. Fair, it's not going to make much difference, but it'll keep them busy. It'll keep them occupied, give them something to do, remember their alphabet and whatever. And then it wasn't until I actually tried it one day. And there's two ways of doing it. You can either do it with your leg totally supported, or you can do it trying to hold your leg up at the same time. Holding your leg up at the same time is extremely hard work, actually. And if you let your leg rest down, it's still quite a lot of work on those intrinsic muscles, trying to move the foot into different positions to write the alphabet. And it is actually a pretty good workout for the foot. So I've extended it now sometimes when I feel that people who may be more active, who still need some work done there. It's got an end point to that exercise, Z, basically. So you've got the start A and the end Z, and it's something which people know they've got a start and a finish to, rather than, oh, just do some stretching on your feet. It seems to work better for people when they've got that. So that might be something you want to try. So that's just an overview of the extrinsic and the intrinsic muscles. And the intrinsic ones, which we're going to largely look at, although we will touch briefly on one of the extrinsic ones, the intrinsic ones can be divided into those situated on the dorsum of the foot and those in the sole of the foot, or on the plantar side of the foot. You remember we talked a minute ago about one of the actions of the muscles outside the foot being dorsiflexion and plantar flexion. So the dorsum of the foot is the top of the foot, and dorsiflexion is where you bring the top of the foot towards you, and plantar flexion is where you push the bottom of the foot away from you, if you've got your leg and foot out in front of you, that is. So let's have a brief talk then about two of the muscles, I suppose. We're going to look at the dorsal aspect of the foot, so the top of the foot. And many of the muscles outside, the extrinsic muscles, attach into the top of the foot as well. But there's only two intrinsic muscles in this part of the foot. The extensor digitorum brevis and the extensor hallucis brevis. Now, those are the intrinsic ones. There are also extrinsic muscles, that ones that start in the leg, attach to the bones in the leg, and then come into the foot and attach into the foot. There is the extensor digitorum longus and the extensor hallucis longus. And as the name suggests, the long ones obviously are longer. They go through the ankle and up into the leg. And the shorter ones, brevis, those ones are the ones that are intrinsic. They start in the foot and they finish in the foot. So the whole of the muscle and its tendons and attachments are within the foot and to the bones of the foot. Now, let's talk a little bit about those muscles. So the extensor digitorum brevis. It's a muscle that lies very deep to the extensor digitorum longus. So the one coming from outside is more superficial, and the brevis, the short one, is deeper. And it attaches into, if you remember any of the bones we talked about in a previous show, it attaches to the heel bone, which is called the calcaneus, and it also attaches into the ligaments that are around the ankle joint there, the interosseous talocalcaneal ligament, if you want the proper name of it, and the inferior extensor retinaculum as well. Retinaculum is a band of tissue which is fairly tough, and it, if you like, it holds the tendons in place. It also attaches to the long extensor tendons of the four toes, the smaller toes. So it's got quite a lot of areas that it attaches to, and it helps the big long extensor digitorum longus. It helps it to extend the four little toes. Okay. So not the big toe, but the four little toes, and it helps them to extend it at the metatarsophalangeal and the interphalangeal joints. Now, if you remember from our talk on bones, the metatarsophalangeal joints are the ones between the metatarsals and the toe bones, and the interphalangeal joints are the joints within the toes. Okay, so you've got these muscles, the long one and the short one, both working together to extend, and that means to straighten the toes and to bend them, to straighten them and lift them up. If you can imagine, do it now, actually. You've got your toes attached to you. Get your toes and scrunch the toes up. So you're curling them over. And that is the flexor muscles doing that. The other ones, we're not talking about those today, but that's the flexion. And then if you want to just straighten those toes back again and try as if you're lifting them to up even straighter than they can be, and you'll feel that there's some tension on the top of the foot there. And if you really do it hard, you'll feel that tension going up beyond the ankle and into the front of the leg there. And that is those extensor muscles that are working to try and keep those toes straight. So in a nutshell, extensor digitorum brevis has got four tendon slips that come from its body, and they go into each of the toes, attaching to the various joints along the toe there. Extensor hallucis brevis, if you remember from our talk about the bones, the big toe's name is called the hallux, and that's where this name comes from, extensor hallucis brevis. Short again, and there's a long version which comes from the leg via the ankle and into the big toe. And then this shorter one, extensor hallucis brevis, which starts actually again attached to the calcaneus and the other ligaments around that area, and attaches into the base of the proximal phalange of the big toe of the hallux. So you've got both the extensor digitorum brevis and the extensor hallucis brevis helping the longer tendons by the similar names. And it helps with the same action. So again, because it's on the top of the foot, it helps to extend the big toe at that metatarsophalangeal joint. Both these muscles are actually supplied by the same nerve, the deep fibular nerve, and they get their control from that. I hope this is helping you out with getting a picture of just how complex your feet are. And this is just looking at two muscle groups that have actually been isolated there in the top of the foot. Another time we will look at those in the sole of the foot, and there's a lot more of those, so that might even take more than 1 week. But I wanted to do these ones because it links in nicely with some of the things we're going to talk about regarding your toes. Thank you for joining us this week. If it's your first time listening, then I hope that you are finding it interesting. Hope you're finding it helpful. And I think what we're about to talk about will be helpful, because it's a very common complaint that we see in clinic all the time. My practice, I've got a couple of practices, one in Lewisham and one in Oxford in Surrey. And one of the most common things that we see people coming in with, not necessarily that that's the thing bringing them in, but it's something which we see developing early on before it's got to the point of causing a problem, and that is the condition called hammer toe. Okay, now we're talking about toes, and I'm doing a series of things regarding toe problems. And hammer toe, I'm going to link it in with a thing called mallet toe as well, okay? The reason being is that they're very similar in many respects.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So a hammer toe is where the toe joint nearest to the foot gets bent in an abnormal shape. Whereas a mallet toe is where the joint nearest to the nail bends over. And this generally happens to the four lesser toes. So not necessarily the big toe, but the four lesser toes. And it happens because there are an imbalance of the muscles and the tendons and ligaments that normally hold the toe straight. And this can happen because of the types of shoe that you might be wearing. It can happen because of the foot structure you have and the way that forces are going through the foot as you walk. It can happen because of trauma, so damage can leave it to be fixed in that position. Certain diseases can cause to it as well, or contribute it to it. And of course, these muscle imbalances which cause the toe joints to get eventually fixed in the wrong position. Starts off usually where it's still flexible and you can bend the toe straight again, but eventually usually will become fairly fixed, and it's almost impossible unless you have surgery to actually get relief. Now, is there an actual danger of a hammer toe in itself? In and of itself, not necessarily. Some of the problems that you can get sometimes is that the shape of a toe can lead to the tip of a toe actually getting a lot of pressure on it. And sometimes it is happening because it is a big second toe, maybe, which is causing that second toe to hammer up because of pressure from the shoe. The problem arises really with secondary complications. So if you've got a toe joint that's sticking upwards, then that knuckle is likely to get aggravated by any shoe which isn't deep enough to accommodate it. And that's why it's very important, if you have a hammer toe, to make sure you get extra deep toe boxes in the shoes that you buy, enough room in those shoes. Another thing is having a lace-up shoe, ideally. If you've got a slip-on shoe, your toes are going to, or your foot rather, is going to slide forwards and your toes are going to pay the price. If you've got a lace or a strap, your foot's held back in the shoe so it doesn't get squashed up as much. There are other factors that can cause a hammer toe, or a mallet toe for that matter. We've mentioned the shoes being too small. We've mentioned the longer second toe, if that's the case, that can do it. Having shoes that are too high, again, is going to push you forwards and cause problems there. Shoes that are too tight in the toe box, we've mentioned that. If the feet are too crowded in that shoe, then they won't be able to lie flat. Sometimes the curled toe position persists even when you're barefoot, because you've been in that position all the time in your shoes. So then when you take your shoes off and look at your feet, your toes are still bent up. We've mentioned trauma, but the key one, probably the main one really, is an imbalance of the muscles that control the way the toe bends. This leads to some instability in the joints there, and it can lead the toe muscles to contract. So who is at risk of hammer toe? Well, unsurprisingly, ladies do seem to develop more because I guess they are wearing shoes probably that forget they've got toes at all. There's no room in them for them. Age-wise, it does increase. The risk does increase with age, just wear and tear and trauma to them. If your second toe is longer than your big toe, then there's a greater risk of that one becoming a hammer toe or a mallet toe. And then there's certain diseases as well, arthritis that can cause problems. One of the key ones actually is diabetes. And people often think with diabetes, it is, you know, the complication is that you can get ulcers, you can get gangrene, you get neuropathy, loss of sensation. Well, yes, you do, you can. But the neuropathy side of it, it's not just loss of sensation. There are other factors as well. So with diabetes, if your blood sugars are badly controlled over a period of time, you're likely to lose some sensation in your feet. But prior to that, you're actually likely to lose your what's called autonomic nerve control. So you lose the ability to sweat as much. Your feet become drier. That's one of the things. Then you've got your sensory nerves, and there's different types of sensory nerves. And one of the first ones to go are temperature sensation and sharp sensation, because those nerves aren't as well protected. Then you get light touch disappearing. And one of the other things that can happen is that the motor nerves get affected as well. So the nerves that supply the muscles. And if the nerves that supply the muscles aren't working correctly, then of course you're going to get muscles, some muscles stronger than others, some working more than others. And that causes this imbalance, which can lead to this hammer toe. So if you were to look at the hammer toe side on, what you would see is that the joint with the toe and the metatarsal will be bent upwards. And then the next joint, the middle phalange, will be bent downwards at that first toe joint. And then different things can happen at the distal interphalangeal joint, the one nearest the nail. It can bend upwards, it can bend downwards, there's various things. There's a whole host of other things that can happen. You can get claw toes, you can get retracted toes. But we will look at those more when we look at the flexor muscles on a different week. Okay, so I hope that's been useful to you. It's useful to know what can be going on, but I guess what you really want to know is, well, how can you prevent it? And if you've got it already, what can be done? Well, prevention really is making sure you've got plenty of room in your toes of your shoes. Avoid pointed toes, avoid shallow toe boxes, make sure you've got plenty of room. Don't wear too high heels. You can wear them for the occasional day, but not on a day-to-day basis. Don't necessarily need to be totally flat, but you know, maybe an inch, maybe that's probably about the ideal for most people. And again, when your podiatrist sees you, he'll be checking, she'll be checking whether or not you would benefit from having a heel or not. And sometimes we're telling guys, get some heels, it's the best thing you can do. We don't necessarily mean stilettos. We're talking probably more along the lines of cowboy boots or even just trainers that are higher at the back than they are at the front, which can help a lot. Something that's adjustable is important as well. So something with a lace or strap so you can hold the foot back. It makes much more room in the front of the shoe for the foot so you don't get these abnormal forces on the tendons, ligaments that are holding the toes in place. Additional things that you can do as well to help out, make sure you're buying shoes that are the right size. So maybe take a template along. We've done a topic on that as well in the past. Go back and find it in one of the previous shows. You can make sure you've got the right size shoe. You can make sure maybe you're getting your shoes fitted at the end of the day when your feet are likely to be a little bit bigger because they've swollen a bit over the day. Make sure you don't assume that your size is the same now as it was 2 years ago or a year ago even. Your feet can change. The arch collapses, your feet elongates. With diabetes, if the motor nerves are working differently, it's going to change the whole shape of your foot. So don't assume you're always going to be the same size. And of course, making sure that those shoes do fit as well. And keeping an eye on your feet. If you're keeping an eye on them, you'll notice red marks. You'll notice the shapes changing. And again, see a podiatrist. They can do an annual check. They can compare things. Sometimes we take photographs of a person's hammer toe just so we can have a look at it in a year's time to see if it is getting worse. And if you've got the hammer toes, well, what can we do about it? Well, if they're still flexible, we can possibly change the way your foot's working so that it can actually, the muscles can realign the toe. Sometimes we can sort of do temporary splints, if you like, with materials that we attach to the toe and straighten it for a while. Sometimes exercises can help. Sometimes things have become fixed and we do need to have surgery. Occasionally, even surgery to release the tendons before it gets fixed. So actually we can prevent that hamartoma becoming ever a fixed thing. If it is fixed, then you're looking at surgery, which is going to involve straightening it and probably putting a pin through to make sure that it heals up in a straight orientation. Anyway, that is pretty much all I've got on there for hammer toes right now. I hope you found that useful.
Now, I am aware some of you will have been going through this, waiting for the juicy bits, because in the description of the show, I've talked about hammer toes being potentially lethal. And when you hear things that are lethal, I know the ears get pricked up and you think, well, what is that all about? And I haven't really talked much about it. Well, the reason that hammer toes can be lethal, as can many aspects of foot health, are when things go wrong, when things go considerably wrong. And the risks of that happening are largely associated, for the majority of cases, with diabetes. I've touched on diabetes many a time. I'm sure that if you've listened to the show before, you are aware that diabetes does affect the feet. Diabetes can lead to you not being able to fight infection, to not being able to heal up, and it can also lead to you having neuropathy. Now, if you think back to what we've just talked about regarding hammer toes, you've got a deformed toe where the knuckle of it is protruding up and rubbing on the shoe. It's very, very, very vulnerable to getting a wound on it, to getting rubbed, to getting pressure, which causes a callus and then a corn and then a breakdown. It can lead to a sinus, which is a hole that goes down from the surface into the joint. And all of these things can lead to infection, not only of the superficial flesh, which is dangerous enough with diabetes, but that very, very quickly, in a matter of days, can go to the bone, to the joint. And then you've got a thing called osteomyelitis. Now, osteomyelitis is not a nice condition. It's not easy to get rid of when you have diabetes, and it can lead to an overall systemic infection. So what actually sometimes with diabetes, because you can't feel quite often the pain from it, people don't do anything about it. They don't notice the problem. And that's one of the reasons why, if you've got neuropathy, and you should know already if you've got it, because you should have been tested regularly. If you've got neuropathy, I do recommend that people wear white socks or light-coloured socks, because then when you take your socks off in the evening, if there's anything weeping at all, any blood, you will notice it straight away. Whereas if you're wearing dark socks, you will not see it. And then days can go by, infection can get in, and before you know it, you've got a really bad problem. Sometimes the first you know about it is when you start feeling unwell. And when you start feeling unwell systemically, you know, just literally feverish and not well, then this infection from the toe into the bone can actually really be have become a systemic problem. And you know, you need to get into hospital and often be put on a drip of antibiotics for that. So a hammer toe needs to be taken seriously, number one, because it's it can be uncomfortable. Number two, because if you've got that deformed foot, you don't know what's going to happen in your life later on regarding developing diabetes, regarding if you have diabetes, whether it's going to rub a sore. It just makes sense to try to avoid having that hammer toe. And what about just, you know, forgetting the lethal aspect of it, what about just, you know, you've got that dream holiday planned where you're going to go walking somewhere, you know, maybe some exotic place over in Australia or in a mountain somewhere. You're going to go for that holiday of a lifetime, and that hammer toe, which hasn't caused you too much of a problem, just flares up on day two of your walking holiday. How miserable is that going to make you? So, yeah, get it checked out. If you've got a hammer toe, go and see your podiatrist. Go and get it checked out. See if there's anything that can be done. Often in the early stages, it can be quite minor what we have to do. Try and avoid it developing into something worse. So there you have it. That is my take on hammer toes. Hope that's been useful for you.
I hope that you have enjoyed listening to the Foot Health Show today. I hope that the things I've shared have been useful to some of you. Useful if you've already got the problems that we talked about, or maybe useful just so you can be aware of those problems if they're just beginning to raise their ugly heads. So keep your eyes open on the shape of your toes. Sometimes, actually, it's not a bad idea to get somebody else's opinion. And I'm talking about podiatry, of course. I haven't seen a podiatrist. But even just a partner, a friend, taking a photo of your foot from a different angle, from the angle that a podiatrist would look at it from. Because when you look at it from your angle, when you look at it down on top of the foot, you don't really see the way that the toes are clawing or they're hammering quite the same way as you do from our angle. And we can often see that things are out of alignment a lot easier. And it never ceases to amaze me how much my patients get wowed when I take photos from my perspective and show them what is going on. And they just often say they never realized that their toes were quite so bent as they are. So that's a useful tip for you. Get somebody to do that for you. Anyway, we're drawing close to the end of the show now. Before we do go, I just want to remind you that you can listen to all the previous shows. So if you did want to listen to the Bones of the Foot show that we've had in the past or any of the other shows that we've had, then please do go and check out what the topics are by going to www.bit.ly/foothealthradio. And that will take you to the page which has all of the previous foot health shows on. And this is number 33, I believe. So there's quite a few topics to choose from there. In the event that you don't find the topic you're looking for there, then please do drop us a line. Let us know what you want to hear about. If you've got some weird or wonderful foot condition that is a rarity, let us know. We would love to even talk to you about it on the show. But also we will get people in, experts in, to talk about these topics. I was at an event the other day, at a conference the other day, on a course actually, and was able there to share with my colleagues what we're doing here on the radio and get them to put their hands up basically and put their mouths where their hands are and say, yes, I will come on your show and I will share. So hopefully we will have lots of different voices and not just my voice all the time, much as I'm sure you love it. So if you do want to get in touch with us, if you have got that topic you want to hear about, if you have got a suggestion, if you just want to say, please play this song on this show, I think it would be ideal, then let us know what it is. Contact us via
contact@circlepodiatry.co.uk. That's contact@circlepodiatry.co.uk. I'm also going to give you my phone number as well. You can give us a call on that. Just say you heard Peter on the radio and you wanted to get a little bit more info on anything. Then my phone number is 0208 244 0809. That's 0208 244 0809. That's our London practice. You'll get through to someone there who can relay your questions to me, and potentially might be able to give you a call back even.
Have a fantastic week. Use your feet. Make sure you do that. Make sure you maybe try out those alphabet exercises, and just really have a look around your foot at what's going on in those toes. Have a fantastic week and God bless you all. Well, that's all we've got time for this week, folks. Thank you so much for joining me here on the Foot Health Show on UK Health Radio, your global, real, feel-good radio station. All that remains is for me to say, have a fantastic week. Keep safe, keep those legs and feet moving, and don't forget to tune in again with your friends next week.